let us turn in our Bibles back to Acts chapter 18. From this chapter of God's Word, we have been looking at some biographical accounts of some of the folk at least mentioned. And we've already looked at the portion of the life of the Apostle Paul, that he is a faithful evangelist, and last week we saw he's also a weak evangelist. Now, by virtue of the massive amount of information we've got of Paul in the New Testament, we couldn't do his whole life. It would take a few years to do that. So we just had a brief snapshot of him. But with the next people we are considering this morning, we can look at all that the New Testament says about them, because it's not that extensive. We're going to look at the life and the ministry of a married couple, Aquila and Priscilla. I don't know if you've heard their names. Some of you may well have heard their names. Some, they may not be familiar to you. Aquila was a Jew. He was born in Pontus, which is in northern Turkey that we know today. At some point, he had moved to Rome. Most likely, he had married Priscilla there. We're not sure whether she was a Jew or not. It's quite probable that she was. And they stayed there as a married couple for some time, most likely engaging in their trade of tent making, or perhaps it's even wider than tent making, perhaps in terms of a leather business. And it seems that that business had gone well, and we see that they've got reasonable sized houses. We'll see that later on. But as they dwelt in Rome, trouble eventually came. And we have that recorded for us in verse 2, when we read that he, Paul, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. When Claudius was emperor, there was eventually in his reign a conflict for some reason between the Jews and the Christians in Rome. And we can quite likely think of it in terms of the gospel had come to the Jews, and the Jews weren't happy about that. We've seen that time and time again in the Apostle Paul's ministry, and even violent reaction against the preaching of the gospel. So this is seemingly what had happened there in Rome, and it led led in AD 49 to both groups being expelled from the city. So you can imagine, these are stupid illustration, I suppose, but imagine two teams in a school netball competition, and there are lots of schools there, and the two teams there, and they just fight one another. Well, you're both out. All right, if you can't behave, you're both out. And so here it was, between the Jews and the Christians, there was a conflict. So, okay, you can both get out. You can both groups just leave the city. So that's what happened, and as Aquila and Priscilla were Jews, they had to leave Rome, and they ended up in Corinth, where again they established their business. But it's quite likely that Aquila and Priscilla were not only Jews, but they were also Christians there in Rome. Of course, as we've seen, the gospel had reached Rome by then. The word of God had been proclaimed. So it's very likely that there in Rome they became Christians, and perhaps they were one of the either early members or founding members of the church at Rome. So eventually they had to leave Rome. They came to Corinth. And they probably spent about 3 years in Corinth from AD 49 to latter half of AD 52. There in Corinth, they saw the establishment of a church. They were there probably half the time they were there without Paul, and half the time they were there with Paul. But they saw a church built or established there in Corinth. But eventually they moved on to Ephesus. We see that in verses 18 and 19. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them, that's Aquila and Priscilla, there. So they went to Ephesus. Again, they stayed for a while. They saw again the establishment of a church. And it seems that after a while, they went back to Rome to live for a while. We see that movement in Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5, as Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He is urging them in this letter. He's saying, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, etc. Greet the church that is in their house." So it seems that they had gone back to Rome and were living there at this time. If we date the letter to the Romans to be about AD 58, so they're back in Rome by then. But they didn't stop in Rome all that time. They also spent some time in Ephesus again. And we can see them mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a pastor of the church at Ephesus. And at the end of this letter, he is urged by Paul, "Greet Prisca," that is Priscilla, "and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." So it seems that they were there in Ephesus. And if we date that letter to be about AD 67, they've gone back to Ephesus by that time. That's a potted history of the life of Aquila and Priscilla. But, okay, this is all very interesting, but what is the significance of the lives of this couple? What can we learn from them for our benefit and for our service of the Lord here this morning? That's what's important, isn't it? Not their toings and froings between Rome, Ephesus and Corinth. Well, first of all, and perhaps as an umbrella, we need to see that the significance of their work, their ministry, is in terms of them being called fellow workers in Christ Jesus with the Apostle Paul. He uses that phrase of them in Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." Aquila and Priscilla were a husband and wife team. Whenever one is mentioned in the scriptures, the other one is mentioned. None of them are mentioned on their own. They are a team. Not just one of them was used of God. Both were used of God. It seems that one wasn't used more than the other of God. They were a team. And in many ways, this is a beautiful picture of what God designed a married couple to be. A team. To work together, even in ministry. We can go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. We see the team there being built by God. The Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." It's teamwork. There's that mutual comparability, that help, together working as a married couple. Now, it's true that in other occasions, some folk receive more acclaim than other. It's true that in scriptures and in life, part of that team might be recognized more than another part of the team. But however that comes across, we must recognize that within the husband-wife relationship, we must work as a team, together, helping and serving and glorifying God together. So the big question for those of you who are married this morning: in your marriage, are you working as a team in the church? Not saying do you do the same work. You don't necessarily have to do the same work. But are you working as a team? Are you together seeking to be of blessing to the church? Are you working together for this end? You see, it's significant that as a team, although in many ways their ministry was more of a support ministry, Aquila and Priscilla were definitely used in the establishing of two churches in Corinth and Ephesus, and possibly a third church in Rome. And that's the power of their work as a team, that together they worked and together they were used of God, perhaps behind the scenes, to plant churches in various areas. And that's what's needed here. What is needed is for us as Christian couples, particularly, this is a primary application, Christian couples to roll our sleeves up of whatever age we are, so that we are useful for the glory of God and the good of the church here in this place. We need to work as teams. So the challenge is to married couples to work as a team, but also young people looking for a marriage partner, maybe openly, maybe secretly, whatever it is. There are many things to consider, but one thing to ask yourself, a prospective husband or wife, is, can I work with them as a team in the service of Christ? That's important, isn't it? To get that groundwork before you. Can I work with them as a team in the church? This is a challenge for us. Challenge to married couples, challenge to young people seeking a husband or wife. But it's also a challenge to those who are not married, to believers, or those who are single. Will you be fellow workers with other believers in the church? Will you join together with them in the service of Christ? It is so important. But it's so important that we recognize this in Christ Jesus. Aquila and Priscilla were fellow workers in Him. Not just doing their own thing, not just off their own back, it's in Christ Jesus. It is something that flows from their relationship with Him. It is something which comes from the heart because of what Jesus Christ has done. It flows from the love of Christ to them, even in eternity, who's even died upon the cross for their sins. It comes from the hope that Jesus Christ gives, that joy that He brings, that forgiveness, that adoption, those things that Morris has mentioned in the children's talk. It comes from that. And believers want to serve Christ with all their might because of what He has done for them and how He has served them. That has got to be the starting point. That we are fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And that we serve in conjunction with Christ Jesus. We serve in submission to His will. That we serve to engage in His work by the power and enabling of His Holy Spirit. It must be in Christ Jesus. And of course it must be with other believers. To work in Christ Jesus with them, with our brethren in Jesus Christ, to support their ministry and support their work, to use our gifts and opportunities for the greater cause, for the building of the church. Not doing our own thing here, there and everywhere, not creating our own ministry, but working as fellow workers with others in the church. This is a big challenge, isn't it? To each and every one of us, to use our time, our gifts and energy to serve Jesus in love with our brethren here. And may God help us to be such fellow workers like Aquila and Priscilla. But how do we see their work in practice as these fellow workers? Well, first of all, we see their practical help. A significant part of Aquila and Priscilla's work as fellow workers with Paul and others was the practical help that they offered and secured. We can see this in various ways. We can see that they were hospitable. Now, quite rightly, when we think of hospitality, we think of opening our homes up to others in terms of giving a meal or a cup of tea, just welcome at any time. And there we are, being hospitable to other people, perhaps to share fellowship with them, to help them in their need, or whatever it might be. And that is absolutely right. It is good to do this. But Aquila and Priscilla went a lot further than that. They opened up their home to the Apostle Paul so that he was able to stay with them and then from there to engage in his ministry. So we read in verses 2 to 3, and he, that's Paul, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from them, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. He stayed with them. And that was an amazing thing, really, to welcome a stranger. You might have heard of Paul, but he would have been a stranger to him, and say, okay, you can stay with us. Not one night, not two nights, but quite possibly for 18 months. That's quite a commitment, isn't it? But it was something that was needful for Paul, and it was needful throughout the New Testament days. It was a practical way of supporting mission, supporting the preaching of the gospel. So in 3 John, verses 5 to 8, we read, "Beloved, you do faithfully what you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth." So in that context, there were visiting preachers who were coming and going, and people gave them hospitality for a night or two or more, so that they could preach the word of truth. And this is what Aquila and Priscilla were doing there in Corinth, giving Paul a home and a base for his mission. Of course, it would help financially, lessening rent costs or costs of staying in an inn. But more so, it would have been a better environment for him as a basis for his mission. To be in a place of safety, of security, of peace, a place of fellowship with believers. What a tremendous blessing this was to Paul and his ministry, that he had a place to stay amongst godly believers. So they were hospitable to Paul. Secondly, they helped him in terms of financial support. Of course, the lodging itself was a great help financially. But also, they helped him by providing him with employment to support his ministry. There in verse 3, "So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked." They were of the same trade, the same occupation. So they employed him in their tent-making business, in their leather business. And so they gave him the ability to raise an income and to not worry about money, and indeed, as was on the heart of the Apostle Paul, to not be a burden on those that he was serving. Later he was to write to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. He says, When I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied, and in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself." There he kept himself of being a burden to the church, or to the people there in Corinth, by working. But also, it's likely in verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, that they brought a gift that he speaks of there in 2 Corinthians 11. So with this gift and with his work, this tent making, he was not a burden to the Corinthians as the church was being established. So Aquila and Priscilla were of great financial benefit and support to the Apostle Paul in his ministry. Thirdly, they also practically use their home for the church to meet in. It's quite possible and probable that it was used, that their home was used for the church to meet in Corinth. they opened it up to Paul and he was there, it would be quite natural to do this. But they definitely did so in Rome. So as Paul writes in Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5, in verse 5 we read of this, of them, likewise greet the church that is in their house, that is Aquila and Priscilla's house. So the church there met in their house in Rome. We could also think in terms of the house meeting in their home in Ephesus. So 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, the churches of Asia greet you, which if Ephesus is in, and Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And if we put all the dates together and say the estimate of the date of the writing of 1 Corinthians was AD 55, as many scholars think, and that fits into the time we outlined earlier, that they would be in Ephesus. So they opened up their house for the church in Ephesus to meet in. Now, we're used to buying a building and knocking through and, you know, whatever here. We're used to seeing church buildings all around us, but there wouldn't have been church buildings like we know today in those New Testament days. They had to meet in homes. And Aquila and Priscilla had a home which was large enough to do that. And they are willing and desirous to open it up, to use it for God's glory and the blessing of the church. But fourthly, they practically help Paul in the fact that they risk their life for him. Again, we turn to Romans 16 and verses 3 to 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Now, we can't be sure on the particular circumstances, but it's likely to have happened in Ephesus. That is when they were together, particularly. And we have, of course, in Acts chapter 19, which we'll look at in a few weeks' time, there was a riot. There was a big disturbance there in Ephesus. Paul was in great danger. And indeed, in verse 30, we read when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him, just wanted to go and speak to the people, but they thought, well, hang on, he's just going to get destroyed. He's going to get beaten up. His life could be taken. And so they prevented him. And perhaps here we can perceive maybe that Aquila and Priscilla was just holding him back and perhaps holding the crowd back and just trying to stop this trouble and stop the death of the Apostle Paul. Of course, we cannot be sure of everything that was going on, but at a certain point in time, they intervened in Paul's life to protect his life at the risk of their own necks. Now, what a blessing that was for the churches. Humanly speaking, Paul's life was extended, and he can minister to many, many churches in the coming days. So Aquila and Priscilla were practical people, and they supported ministry in these amazing ways. And they were used of God to build these churches in these different places. Let us never belittle the practical aspects of the work in the church. It has a major effect, perhaps more than we might imagine. Never belittle your financial giving, however great or small. Don't think it's an insignificant thing, that it doesn't matter. It does matter. And it can have a large impact upon the life of the church, your giving and the gift aiding or whatever. You're able to support ministries here. Obviously, with more gifts, more ministry can be supported. We've opened up a fund for a trainee pastor. What a blessing that would be if we could engage someone as a trainee pastor and train them up and perhaps use them here or in the area, or send them out to another church to be a blessing to them. That can be supported through the gifts of God's people. There are practical jobs galore. Here's a danger. I'm going to mention a few. I'm not going to mention them all. Please don't be upset. But there's the cleaning. There's the odd jobs. There's computer work. There's refreshments. There's CDs. The treasurer. The secretary. All manner of different practical jobs. And your particular job that I haven't mentioned. All these different things. They all add up. They make a difference in the life of the church. If nobody did them, where would we be? Be practical in your help. Don't belittle the opening of your home, whether it's to visiting preachers or to brethren. Hospitality can be a great blessing to those who offer it, as well as those who receive it, as preachers are accommodated and as opportunity is given for fellowship. It's a great blessing. It's a practical thing that we can do. It's a practical thing we can do to put ourselves out for the good of others. Hopefully we won't have to put ourselves in danger for the sake of others to protect them from death, but it may come to that one day. But do we put ourselves out to help another in difficulty and in trouble? To be there for them, to do good, and to practically help. Let us be fellow workers in Christ as we practically support ministry in this place and further afield. So they gave some practical help. They also gave spiritual help. All in all, as we only have brief writings of them, they do seem to be a spiritually mature pair. And obviously they would have been blessed through the ministry of Paul in their own home. Straight down, you know, sit down one night with some fish and chips, and there's the Apostle Paul, and you can ask him anything. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, it's not just one night. It's every night of the week. Not fish and chips every night, but fellowship with the Apostle Paul every night. I can learn from him. Amazing. That must have done them a lot of good. And strengthened them and helped them in their knowledge of God and their walk with the Lord. But they use their knowledge of Scripture and their knowledge of the way of the Lord for good. Now we've seen that as they came to Ephesus, the Apostle Paul left them. And as Aquila and Priscilla worshipped in the synagogue, they heard a fine preacher who had come to town called Apollos. And we'll look at him and his life next week, God willing. Now as they heard him, there was much to commend him. They were impressed by him. But as they were listening to him, there were certain things that he didn't say. Certain gaps, I guess, in his knowledge. Certain things which Aquila and Priscilla knew that he needed to know. So we read that they sought to teach him more accurately God's word. And that's found in verses 24 to 26. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So he was pretty accurate in what he was saying, but they took him aside and spoke to him things so he would be able to speak more accurately in the future. Let's be clear, they weren't just a couple of nitpickers sitting in the congregation. He didn't say that word, or, you know, come against him. No, they did it in love. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? They spoke the truth to him in love. It wouldn't have been loving for them to let him continue in his ignorance, to continue in his error, blindly not knowing that he was making a mistake. But nor would it have been loving to do it in a proud and harsh and arrogant way. No, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4, as we are urged there, they spoke the truth in
love.
And that can be seen in the way in which they did that. They took him aside, verse 26 tells us. They didn't see him in the synagogue and he's preaching away and say, hang on, hold on, Apollos, stop there, you've got that wrong. You know, and show him up in front of everyone. They didn't gather at the door and tick him off and whatever. No, they took him aside. Come here, let's have a chat about this. There was an occasion on holiday, won't say where it was, till we went to a church and there was a particular aspect of the ministry and preaching that we were uncomfortable with. It was gospel ministry, but yet the emphasis was disturbing in certain ways and disagreed with what he was saying. But afterwards, as we were leaving, the poor pastor who preached was buttonholed by one of the members of the church and she was ranting and raving at him about what he had said. Now, I would have agreed with her in terms of the error, but not the way she went about it. She ought to have taken him aside and lovingly spoken about it, lovingly considered the situation. That's the way to do it. And that's the way that Aquila and Priscilla did this. And, well, obviously it's in the sovereignty of God and the power of his Spirit, but I think it's because of the way they did it that they were used to further equip this great preacher of the Word of God so that he knew greater usefulness in the coming days. God used them. They weren't an Apollos. They weren't a Paul. But they spiritually helped another preacher in his ministry. So let us have such a spiritual attitude. The attitude to speak the truth in love to one another. To explain the word of God more accurately and carefully. Of course, we need to know it accurately and carefully, don't we, before we can do that. But let us speak that in that way with one another for the blessing, maybe the correction of others in their situations. And may it be that through such a work, the Lord will further equip us all for works of ministry, but even raise up others to preach the gospel for his glory. And in many ways, this relates to what we were thinking in terms of the subject of fellowship on the Lord's Day that we thought of on Wednesday. If we have a deep, a true, and meaningful fellowship in Christ, we will grow as believers. We will be better equipped to serve the Lord. So let's take every opportunity, especially on this day, to do spiritual good to our brethren. So Aquila and Priscilla, they give us a great example of service, practically and spiritually, flowing from their relationship and love for Christ. Let's be like them. Let's be fellow workers in Christ Jesus together here in Ramsbottom for the glory of our Saviour. Amen. Our concluding hymn expresses this oneness in the service of God in Christ Jesus. The fourth verse says, With him we serve, his the work we share, with saints everywhere, near and far. One in the task which faith requires, one in the zeal which never tires, one in the hope his love inspires. Coming Lord. Let's stand ready to sing number 866.